Good morning. Let's begin our worship by standing and singing our gathering hymn, Step by Step, printed in your order of worship.
God, you are my
Lord be with you.
And
welcome as we gather to worship as Murfreesboro Baptist Church this morning. We're so glad that you're here, and we're glad to have guests in our service. Thank you for being here and being a part of our worship. If you would do us a favor and take one of the visitor's cards and complete that and put it in the offering plate when it's passed, that'll help us to know how to get in touch with you if you'd like for us to. We also want to welcome those who are joining us by our radio broadcast or our live stream. We're grateful you're part of our worship today and pray it'll be a blessing to you. And we invite you to come and worship with us in person here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church anytime. We would love to see you face to face. There are several things that I want to mention. First of all, you have your list of folks that we need to be remembering in prayer in your bulletin as an insert today. There are other things going on. Remember our Wednesday evening activities. This week we will be having Big Wednesday, and then following Big Wednesday we will have our other Wednesday activities as well. You see the menu, and you also see that you need to make your reservation by tomorrow if you're going to be here and share in the meal Wednesday evening, and we hope that you will be able to be here. There'll be a church-wide baby shower for Barden and Armando Torres on February the 18th. You see the information about that as well. Other announcements, we also want to congratulate our children on the Super Bowl of Caring, because as of Wednesday evening, we had 242 out of the 250 can goal. And one of the children... Okay, well, so we're over the goal. One of the children offered to go and buy 8 cans of soup to make it to the goal. So that's certainly to be commended. And hey, let's just go ahead and shoot for 275, okay? All right, we're already over 250. Let's do 275. There is a lot going on in the life of our church, and we are grateful that we get to share in it. And we are thankful that you are here as we worship God together this morning. And so I invite you now to join me in our call to worship from Psalm 147, printed in your order of worship. If you'll join in on the bold print, and it does continue over onto the next page. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praises to our God, for He is gracious, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the animals their food and to the young ravens when they cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of a runner. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His steadfast love. Praise the Lord. Indeed, Lord, we come before You to praise You, to offer to You our thanksgiving, and to offer to You our praises. for who you are and for all that you have done, especially for what you've done in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We honor you and praise you, O Lord, and we ask that as we gather for this time of worship this morning, you would make your presence known among us in a powerful way. Lord, your word teaches us that Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst. And so we know that you're here, and we pray that you'd make that presence known now. Bless us as we worship you, Lord. Give us ears to hear what you would say to us today, and hearts to respond in faith and obedience. And in all that we do today, may your name be honored and glorified, and may your church be built up for your glory. We pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 334, Praise the Lord Who Reigns Above. Please stand as you're able. Children come for the children's sermon.
Thank you. preaching all day. He'd been healing people. And he then went to a disciple's family and he healed his mother of one of his disciples. But then, you know what he did? He went out to pray. And that allowed him to recharge and reconnect with who? God. So that's how we can recharge ourselves spiritually. We can pray. And then Jesus went right back to work because he said, that's why I'm here. I'm supposed to be working. But everybody has to recharge, including Jesus. And we have to recharge with food, and we have to recharge with rest, but we also have to recharge spiritually. And we can do that by coming to church, by reading our Bible, and by praying. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for being there for us and helping us get that time to recharge. We know that we can do that every time we pray to you. In your Son's name, amen.
This is the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 40, 21 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned around, above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy. He spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground. Then he blows on them and they wither, and the whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these things. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings, like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. Thanks, the word of the God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now the New Testament lesson is from Corinthians 9:19 through 27. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. The word of the Lord, his holy name.
Thank you, Debbie. Our hymn of devotion is number 48, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father.
seated. As we come to join together in our prayer time, several that we have requests for: Faye Phipps Jenkins, that's Catherine Brett's cousin. She's in hospital at Wake Med. Melissa Howell is having some tests run at Duke. Anita Copeland Hoggard, continue to pray for her as she is recovering from surgery at home. Also, the family, the James family, with the loss of their son, of course, Tim and Kim, and Ruth Ann Flanagan is his aunt. And so please remember all of these folks in our prayers, and others as well that are on our hearts and our minds. Let's join together in a moment of quietness, and then I'll offer our prayer, and we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray. Merciful and gracious God, our Heavenly Father, how we thank you that we can come before you in worship and that we can come before you to lift our prayers to you, to offer to you our praises and our thanksgivings, but also our petitions and our intercessions. Lord, that you call us to make our requests known to you with thanksgiving. And so, Lord, we do thank you for who you are, for all that you have done. We thank you, Father, for your great eternal redemptive purpose in Christ, how from eternity past you had purposed to send him, even before we were, Lord, even before we had gone astray, that in your great amazing foreknowledge you knew there would be the need for salvation, for redemption, and that you were determined when we had gone astray and chosen our way over your way that you would redeem a people for yourself, and indeed that you would redeem this creation in new heavens and a new earth. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you have done in Christ and for how you prepared the way down through the ages, as we read about in the Old Testament, how through your prophets you told how the Messiah would come, and how, Lord, you sent Jesus Christ, God the Son, come in the flesh to save us from our sins. We are amazed, O Lord, at your mercy and your grace in him. And we pray that you will help us to live our lives in a way that shows that gratitude for what you have done for us in him. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to be intent about sharing that good news with others so that they might come to experience your forgiveness and your salvation in Christ. Lord, we thank you for how you sent him, for what he did on the cross and in his resurrection. We thank you that he sits exalted at your right hand, Father, and that he will return in glory to raise the dead and to judge the world in righteousness and to set all things right in the new creation. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your great mercy and grace in Christ. And Lord, we come now to lift up those petitions and intercessions. All of these that we have mentioned by name, we lift to you now, Lord. And others that are on our hearts and minds, we lift as well. Father, we thank you for surgeries that have gone well. We thank you for recovery from illness. We thank you for those who are recovering from surgery, that things are going well for them. We thank you, Father, for the grace and the strength and the comfort that you give to those who mourn. And we pray especially for those who are grieving today. Bless them and help them, Lord. Give them what they need in the midst of their sorrow. Father, we pray for your church throughout the world, your church here in Murfreesboro, especially in this local expression known as Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We pray, Lord, that you would work in us and among us and through us to accomplish your purpose in Christ. We pray, Father, that in your church throughout the world that you would be working to accomplish that purpose, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we especially pray for our brothers and sisters in other lands who face persecution because of their faith in you and their faithfulness, and we ask a special grace for them. And we pray for our missionaries, Lord, wherever they are serving, that you would empower them as they seek to spread the good news of Jesus among those who don't know. But Lord, remind us that we also, right here in Murfreesboro, are to be on mission with you, that there are those here who need to hear the good news, and that you've given us that responsibility to share it with them. Lord, we pray for our country. In these times of division and polarization, we pray, Father, that you would bring about peace, that you would bring about a greater sense of unity and purpose, Lord, that you would bring healing to our land. Father, we realize that that needs to start in your churches. We pray for a time of revival and renewal in your church. And we pray that that will then spill over into spiritual awakening in our land so that many will come to know you. For we know, Lord, that with what we are facing as a country, that the only real answer is for hearts to be changed through the grace of Christ. Lord, you bless us in so many ways, and we are grateful. You bring us together as your people to worship and fellowship, and we are grateful, Lord. And we pray now that as we worship together and as we pray together this morning, that you will bind us in unity more closely than we've ever been before. And Lord, that our life together as your people in this place would be a sign to those around us of your mercy and your love, and that it would raise a praise to you on the lips of those who see it. So hear us as we pray now, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns together with you and the Holy Spirit, is one God forever and ever. And hear us, O Lord, as we lift our prayers in the words of that prayer that he taught us, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our text this morning comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Father, as we look into your word now, open our minds, open our ears, open our hearts. Help us to hear and to see and to understand and to obey as you would have us to. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Knowing who we are and why we're here makes all the difference in the world in how we live and what we do. You know, young people often struggle with a sense of identity and purpose in their teens and 20s, trying to understand who they are and what they're here for. And then sometimes later in life, adults struggle with that same thing as they look back on what they have or haven't accomplished so far. When we understand clearly who we are, it helps make more sense of why we're here. What's our purpose or our mission in life? What is it that we have been put here for? And no matter what we're doing, knowing why we're doing it is important, isn't it? Knowing why gives us direction. It keeps us focused. It keeps us going. Knowing the why helps us to determine the how and the when of what we do and what we're doing. Mark shows us in our text for today that Jesus was very clear about why he had come. The backdrop is important. As we've been looking at this first chapter of the Gospel of Mark over the past several Sundays, we have seen that John the Baptist had been preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and he had been preaching that someone was coming after him who was mightier than he and who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. John had Jesus to come to him unexpectedly. He was not expecting Jesus to come, but Jesus came and he was baptized by John, not because he needed to repent, but in order to identify with those who did need to repent. And then after Jesus was baptized, God opened the heavens and the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and the voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, you're my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," confirming who he is. And then the Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. Later, John was arrested. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the good news, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Then he called four fishermen. You remember, Peter and his brother Andrew, or Simon and his brother Andrew. Peter would be his name later on. And then also James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They left everything to follow him. Jesus and his new disciples went into the nearby village of Capernaum on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus taught in the synagogue, astounding the people because he taught with such authority. And then he also demonstrated that authority by casting the demon out of the man, and the people were even more amazed. And that brings us to our text, verses 29 through 39 of chapter 1. Mark tells us that Jesus left the synagogue and he went to the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And this, of course, was the Simon who'd later be known as Simon Peter, the great disciple and prominent apostle. Now, when Jesus got to their house, Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a fever. And some of the folks there asked if there was anything he could do to help her. I mean, they'd heard about him healing other people, so could he help her? And help her he did. He went over and he took her by the hand and he lifted her up. And immediately she was healed and she began to serve them. I mean, think about this. When he goes in, she's lying there with a raging fever, and then all of a sudden she's up and around and saying, by the way, can I get you and your friend something to eat or drink? It was amazing. Then later that day, when the sun was setting, people who had family members or friends who were sick or who were oppressed by demons brought them to Jesus. And he healed many of the sick and he cast out many demons. And since the demons knew he was the Messiah, he didn't yet want that known, and so he didn't allow them to speak. So when you look at what happened here, it quickly becomes evident that Jesus was very clear about his mission. He knew why he was here. Here he was in Capernaum, teaching about the kingdom of God, God's reign, and demonstrating God's rule as he cast out demons and healed those who were sick. His mission was to proclaim good news and to bring freedom and healing to those who were bound and oppressed. And the people were loving it. Now at this point, Jesus knew he needed some solitude. He needed to recharge, as Sarah was saying in the children's sermon. And so he went out to a solitary place, out in the wilderness to pray, got up before daybreak to do this. But Simon wouldn't leave Jesus alone. He and some others got together and they began to hunt him. They tracked him down. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone's searching for you." It was obvious that the people didn't want him to leave. And now that kind of response can be distracting. People expressing admiration and needing you, wanting you to stay there with them. Jesus already had something of a following. You know, he could have just settled down in Capernaum. He was using it as sort of a base of operation, but he could have just simply set up shop there permanently and let people come to him from all over. And he could preach and teach and he could heal and cast out demons. And who knows, he might gain more followers that way than any other. And he could certainly be fairly comfortable and relatively safe carrying out this ministry in Capernaum, not really having to contend with the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Roman government as much as he might otherwise would. But Jesus was clear about his mission. It was about God's kingdom. It wasn't about his comfort. It wasn't about his popularity. It wasn't about success. It wasn't about being adored by the people. He told those who had tracked him down, "Let's go on to the neighboring town so I can proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And so he traveled all around Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus said, "That is what I came out to do." The NIV translates it, "That is why I have come." And Jesus was determined to stay focused. To stay focused on that purpose, on that mission. He was determined to do what the Father had sent him to do, to proclaim the kingdom of God and to demonstrate the rule of God that was coming in him. That's why Jesus came. But what does all that mean for us? And about how we're to live as his followers? Well, just as Jesus knew why he came, We need to be clear about why God has placed us where He has. At this point in time, God has strategically placed us here in this wonderful town as this congregation known as the Murfreesboro Baptist Church. And He's placed us here for a reason. To be on mission with our risen Lord Jesus Christ. We're to extend His work in the world around us as He empowers us and as He works through us by His Holy Spirit. God has placed each member of this congregation in this local expression of the body of Christ for a purpose. Each and every one of us has a function and has a role to play in the work of His kingdom. He has gifted each of us who follow Him for ministry and mission. And those gifts take many different forms. But as my teacher Charles Talbert used to describe it, they are the risen Christ's power at work in us to accomplish His work through us. Think about that. The power of the risen Christ in us to accomplish His work through us. And every one of us, He's given some kind of gift to use in His kingdom. Now, friends, being on mission with Jesus is not easy. Often it's messy. But if we're His disciples, it's not optional. It's not optional. Often, we don't know what we're to do. We feel overwhelmed by the needs around us. Or we begin to do something and that one thing becomes our pet project. How do we figure out what God wants us to do? Or better yet, what He wants to do through us. How do we discern that? Well, the specifics of that can be difficult to discern, but God has made it clear in His Word at least two things that He wants us to do. And the first of those is that He wants us to know Jesus Christ. He wants us to know Jesus Christ. He wants us to trust Him, to yield our lives to Him, to spend time with Him in His Word and prayer and worship, both corporate and personal, and to do that in such a way that we really begin to get to know Jesus, to know who He is and what He's like, why He came. And that's extremely important for a couple of reasons. For one, knowing Jesus is about being in a loving relationship with Him and with His disciples, His people, His church, especially the local congregation we belong to. Personally and corporately, we're to know Him, love Him, walk with Him, serve Him, and become like Him. That's what it means to know and follow Jesus. And for the other, understanding why Jesus came helps us understand what we're to be doing as His church. And what is that? We're to help others come to know Him. How? By bearing witness to the world around us about Him through our attitudes and our actions. And by announcing the good news that God's kingdom has come and it is coming in Jesus. And just as Jesus preached the kingdom of God and healed the sick and cast out demons, so we're to proclaim this good news and minister to those in need. And sometimes those needs are physical. Sometimes they're emotional. Sometimes they're mental. Sometimes, all the time actually, they're spiritual. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to continue Jesus' mission, to proclaim the good news of His victory and His reign, to proclaim with our lips and demonstrate with our lives that Jesus is Lord, and that those who put their trust in Him can be saved by His grace, forgiven of their sins, and live in the hope of the resurrection and the life of the ages in the new creation, the new heavens and new earth, where God will make all things right. Jesus did what He did by proclaiming God's kingdom and demonstrating God's rule by healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out demons. And in the book of Acts, we see that the early church did the same kinds of things through the power of the Holy Spirit. But you see, we have a challenge. We have the modern Western mindset. And in that modern Western mindset, we have been taught that the universe that we live in is a closed universe. It's run by fixed natural laws, and nothing interferes with that. Now, as Christians, we would affirm that yes, we live in a universe that has fixed natural laws, but the one who created it can intervene supernaturally to do things. And that's what we see Jesus doing. But so often, we look at it as a closed universe without any real reference to God's reign in the world. We spiritualize His rule. I mean, do we really believe He heals the sick and casts out demons and even raises the dead? Well, we're usually skeptical at best, and sometimes unbelieving at worst. And then I think about Joanne's younger brother, Fletcher. In 2014, on the day before Mother's Day, he was in an ATV accident and broke his neck in three places. And it was one of them was the kind of break that you're not supposed to survive. In fact, he coded twice on the helicopter ride. And then another time while he was in the hospital. But you know what? After a lengthy recovery, he was able to go back to work running his small road construction business. Still does it every day. Works anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a day. When he went back for his six-month checkup to the surgeon, he didn't have a wheelchair, just had a cane. The surgeon was amazed, and he said, "The night I did surgery on you, I was 96% sure you'd never walk again." Or I think about a little girl named Rebecca in one of the churches that we serve. She was a toddler. She'd gotten an E. coli infection. And on a Sunday afternoon, the family called and said, "Her kidneys are failing. They think she's not going to make it." I went to the hospital, the group that gathered for discipleship training that night. Joanne had them to pray, to spend all the time praying for Rebecca. About 7 o'clock, or a little after 7, the doctors came out and said, "Her kidneys have started acting. She's going to be okay." I called the church to let them know. And I said, "By the way, what time did y'all finish praying?" "About 7 o'clock. Or I think about a report that was in USA Today back in 2015. About 14-year-old John Smith, who fell through the ice and he was trapped underwater for 15 minutes. When they finally got him out, the first responders and then the emergency room medical personnel did CPR for 27 minutes. Nothing. No pulse, no heartbeat. They brought his mother into the room to tell her that he was gone. And she began to pray very loudly, as the report says, that God would bring him back. And you know what? His heart started back. The doctors thought he would have brain damage, a lot of brain damage. He didn't. In fact, he had a full recovery. And another report that I saw about him, he went on to college and was studying for the ministry. You see, God still does bona fide miracles. In fact, John Smith, that's what one of the doctors called it, a bona fide miracle. Now, there's two very important things that we need to understand about how Jesus fulfilled what he came to do. First, although he regularly ministered in the synagogue, his ministry went beyond the synagogue. And in the same way, while what we do here on Sundays and Wednesdays is extremely important, we also have to carry the good news off the church campus and into the community and the world around us. We have to do that. That's how Jesus did it. And here's the second thing. Some Christians think it's all about sharing the good news verbally. And others think that we simply need to show the gospel by ministering to those in need and working to right wrongs. The fact is, Jesus did both. He preached the good news of the kingdom, and he healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out demons. We're joining him on his mission. So how should we do it? The way he did it. Minister and proclaim. And together these actions form a winsome witness to Christ as we both proclaim and demonstrate the good news that in Jesus, God's kingdom has come and is coming, and that in his time and his way, he will make all things new and all things right. Jesus knew who he is and why he came. And now, if you've been listening, now, as followers of Jesus, we know too. Let's pray. And so, Lord, help us to know why we're here. Help us to know what you've placed us here for. And help us to follow you faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of commitment this morning is number 646. Perhaps God is speaking to you about some area of your life that you need to yield to him as his disciple, or where you need to trust him more deeply or follow him more closely. Would you make that commitment this morning? And if you need to come and share it, we invite you to do so. If you've never put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what better time to trust him than right now? If you need help and guidance in that decision, we invite you to come. Or if you're making that decision, we invite you to come and share it this morning as we sing number 646.
Teach me your way. And I'll see you. Teach me your way. And I'll see you.
Father, as we come now to this time in our worship, when we respond to you and all that you have spoken to us by offering our gifts to you, our tithes and our offerings, we pray now that you would help us to give with glad and generous hearts, that you would help us to give as a demonstration of our love for Christ, and that we are following him and seeking to become like him. We pray, Father, that you will help us to remember that we are giving to the work of your kingdom, and we pray that you will use these gifts for that purpose. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for what we've shared in this morning as we have worshiped you together. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you lavish on us in Christ. Father, we pray that these gifts that we have given will reflect our thanksgiving. And Lord, we pray also that our lives will reflect that thanksgiving and that commitment to you, that we will seek to be ministering to those in need and sharing with them in word and in deed, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us in him. Bless us and help us that we would be showing your grace and your good news to everyone around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for worshiping together. And as you go today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through Jesus Christ. Amen.